We're doing Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. We're up to the 46th chapter. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah omer, Erev Shabbat b'shisha l'chodesh b'shesh shot b'yom kiblu Yisrael et ha-dibrot. It was a Friday. It was 6 hours into the day. It was noon, and the Jewish people received the Ten Commandments Friday afternoon. Oh boy, the sun is shining down. There's as much light as can be. It's midday. They receive the Ten Commandments. The whole thing of the Ten Commandments, how long did it take? 3 hours. 9 hours into the day, Friday afternoon, they come back, mincha time, to get prepared for Shabbos. They had the man waiting, like every Friday. They had 2 days worth of food. So they get the commandment. One of the Ten Commandments is Shabbos, right? Zachot Yom Shabbat Lekadsho, Shamot Yom Shabbat. So that's why they rested on that Shabbos. So that's a very interesting thing. Lefichach Shavetu, because we have a medrash that says that they got Shabbos in Mara, long before the Ten Commandments. But okay. They went into that Shabbos happy that they heard Hashem's voice. As the verse says, who is it among all flesh that heard God while still alive, heard God talking to him? So the Jewish people get the Ten Commandments. What day is it that we get the Ten Commandments?
Friday.
It was Friday. And what day do we celebrate that? What holiday do we have on that day?
Shavuot.
Shavuot, very good. So then it turns out that Shavuot was on a Friday when the Torah was given. Because there are opinions that say that it was on Shabbos. But this Medrash holds it was on Friday. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe B'Lashon Nekiya, Hashem said to Moshe using a clean language. Hashem doesn't say things in a defiled way. Hashem says things in a modest way. Hashem didn't say, go be intimate with your wives. What does Hashem say to Moshe? Lech Amo LeYisrael Lechu Ish Lo'olo. Hashem says to Moshe, go tell the people to go back to their tents. That's a way of saying go back to their wives. Remember that 3 days where they separated from their wives in anticipation of the reception of the Torah. And now Hashem tells them, go back to your tents.
Shabbat cannot fall on a Friday, right?
Okay, when you have things based on the moon, then it could fall on any day. It's only when you have a set calendar that there are days that it doesn't happen. Yachol afatat ashuv. Maybe Moshe should also come back to his tent. But here we see that from the day that Moshe received the Torah, the day the Torah was given to Israel, Moshe never went back to his wife. Hashem tells him, you stay with me. So from the time was the Torah was given, Moshe doesn't go back. What do you mean?
Like that would happen from then on.
Right. Correct. Yeah.
Not just Am Golus. He stays. He stays forever. Let's say.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What did Moses' wife do? That she was trying to punish him.
I don't know.
Are you thinking about?
I don't know. No, it's a good question. I don't know. Yeah.
I was saying, like, maybe the same about Miriam.
Maybe what?
No, it wasn't. This was like, why should she suffer?
Right. It's a good question. I don't know.
It's a question purely, I think, of time and like Moshe. Yeah, to be in a constant state of purity. right?
Right, but he's saying, you know, she did suffer, Moshe's wife, so why? What did she do to deserve that? That's a good question. I have potential answers, but I have to think about it. It's a good question. I never thought of that. Rabbi Shobin, huh?
No, because we always say that the way we live is the spiritual and physical, and not just the spiritual, but just the physical.
Right, but still, you know, a person gets married, one of the things they all want another is to be together. So it's true that when you marry someone big in Torah, so you're prepared for certain stringencies that come with marrying someone big. So she married Moshe, she was prepared for certain things. Was she prepared for this? You see, she had a hard time with it. She was a big tzaddikah, she was a very pious woman, but still, it is a certain element of a punishment. You know, it is hard. It's a tough state to be in, that one's husband doesn't come close to them. That's a good question. Rabbi Shlomo ben Kocha omer, 40 yom asa Moshe bahar, kore b'mikra b'yom v'shoneh b'mishnah b'layla. For 40 days, Moshe is learning Tanakh by day, learning the oral law by night. That's the way it works. Nighttime is the time to learn Mishnah or the oral law. Interesting that Moshe up at Sinai knows when it's day and knows when it's night. And after 40 days, he took the luchos, went down to the camp. It was the 17th of Tammuz that he smashed the luchos. And he killed the cursed ones among Israel. Litei, light means to curse. So others have over here that should say Chotei Yisrael. Others say the Levites killed those among Israel. Ve'asa arba'im yom b'machane. He spent the next 40 days in the camp. 40 days with Israel. Now here, this doesn't really work mathematically. So the Rush says it's a mistake because he was for 40 days up on the mountain, 40 days three times. 40 days from Shavuos to Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, 40 days from Shiva Asar B'Tammuz till the 29th of Av, and another 40 days till Yom Kippur. So that's why he says it's a mistake. He wasn't down in the camp for these 40 days. Now, according to this Medrash, it would seem that Moshe Rabbeinu only spent on the mountain twice. Meaning we go with the Seder Olam Rabbah. That seems to say he was up there all three times. 40, 40, 40. This Medrash seems to say he spent the middle 40 days down in the camp. Until ultimately he burnt the Egel. Now again, here the other Midrashim learn he did that the day he came down. He ground it like dust. He killed everyone that had kissed the Egel. And he cut out the idol worship, the paganism from Israel. So that we can understand took 40 days. He established every tribe in its place. Yeah.
My rabbi in San Antonio had an analogy for how serious this Avera was. He said not only was the Avera serious because it was idol worship, it was even more serious because it happened, right when Moshe was where he was and where the Jewish people where they were. He gave an analogy. It's like the Jewish people were basically just united with Hashem, right? And they go around and they turn around and do this. And he said it's like a couple marrying, and then on their honeymoon the wife cheats on him with a bellboy. And it's serious, you know. It's even more serious because of when it happened.
Very nice. The Medrash says that. Mother says that allegory. Very nice. So here it seems like there was tremendous disarray in the camp. He had to reestablish each tribe in their place. So now the Medrash learns that Moshe went up the second time on Rosh Chodesh Elul. He wasn't up on the mountain in the middle 40 days. So they blew the shofar throughout the camp. Moshe went up the mountain. They shouldn't come to sin again after idol worship. And from here we have the custom that we blow the shofar throughout the month of Elul. And on that day Hashem was elevated with the shofar. Everyone's working to serve Hashem, to be faithful to Hashem. They did a complete tshuva, so the shofar represents that. Shneimar alai Elokim bitua Hashem b'kol shofar. As the verse says, Hashem was uplifted with the shofar, with the trua blast. That's why the Medrash says, the sages instituted that we blow shofar every year on Rosh Chodesh Elul to arouse us to do tshuva. So the Medrash already quotes this custom. Rav Kahana Omer, and there were a few Rav Kahanas. Some over here have the Girsa Rav Tachana Omer. Haluchot lo nivru min haaretz ele min hashamayim. The luchos, the tablets, were not made of earthly material. They were made of heavenly material. Maaseh yadav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was God's handiwork. It says, Umaaseh yadecha shamayim. The heavens are God's handiwork, and so too were the luchos. Shneimar v'haluchot maaseh Elokim hema. The luchos were God's handiwork. Hema haluchot shehayu mikedem. These luchos were already prepared from before creation. From the beginning of creation, Hashem created them in twilight, prepared for us. Hu amichtav shayami, v'amichtav michtav Elokimu, hu amichtav shayami kedem. The writing, the inscriptions, and the luchos were also around from the beginning of time. Charut al haluchot, it says it was engraved in the tablets. Al tikri charut el acherut. That shouldn't be read engraved, but rather freedom was on those tablets. So the pasuk is indicating that the tablets brought down freedom to the world. That's the idea. It says in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos that you want to be a free man, learn Torah. When you free your thought, you can be free. When you're not free in thought, you're spending your life in servitude of others. Emerson said a beautiful line.
Who?
Emerson. He was a philosopher. He said, if you walk around, you see people empty of themselves and living the lives society expects of them. You see a person like that, and everyone he meets around him is the same. And so society is much of the same. People trying to live up to the expectations of others. We had a neighbor, Harry Goder. He used to say, people buy things they don't need with money they don't have to impress people they don't like. So we're all bound to certain paradigms. You know, you have your perspective on life, and that really defines for you what you're going to do. Now, how do you free yourself of that? So the Torah is a system that's built to free a person to do what's right. That's chirut.
So the world was not ready yet to receive this freedom, since this freedom points were since the Luchot were written,
the word
was not
ready
to get this freedom. That's why
only
we got Torah with Moshe and not with anyone else before.
I guess, yeah. I guess my keys are in there. That's okay. That's okay. I got my work friends, Yehuda and I. He'll open the door. I just want to make sure they're not roaming. They're inside?
I'm actually going to go and check my room again. 100%.
I'll speak to you later about maybe transferring some money to 100%. You'll tell me how we could do it? I'm with you. So just do me a favor. Even if you're going to go to sleep, keep me posted. Let me know.
Yeah, no, I'm going to sleep. I'm going to get that room in my head.
Perfect. That's the ha. Our thoughts are with you. It seems that way.
And how can I understand that the word about freedom from or through us, or still gets freedom, when it seems the other way around, because the going they bind themselves to try to destroy us, that's not very much freedom. Nor for us, nor for them.
That's a long question.
I'm not going to answer that.
There's an excellent book by Rav Arya Kaplan. It's in the Arya Kaplan anthology. It's called "If You Were God." Did you ever read it?
No, I haven't had
something. So I think that to a great extent he addresses at least half of your question. So it's worth a whole. I think he will address it in a more entertaining and complete way than I could. So I would start there. So then when it came time for round two, Moshe has to engrave a new set of tablets. There was a quarry of this fine stone called Snapirinon, whatever that is, I don't know exactly what that is, was created under Moshe's tent. V'chatzavan, and he carved them out from there. Shneimar v'yipsol shnei luchot avanim k'rishonim. The verse says he carved out two tablets like the first ones. Ala Moshe im aluchot. This time, Moshe goes up with the tablets. Remember the first time Moshe came down with the tablets. This time Moshe goes up with the tablets. V'asal ben yom bahar, and he spent another 40 days up in the mountain. Yoshev lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ketamid sheyoshev lifnei Rabo, sitting before Hashem like a student before his Rebbe. Kore bedat mikra bayom v'shone bedat mishnah balayla, learning the dat of Torah by day and repeating, reviewing, sharpening the dat of Mishnah at night. I don't know why this time the Medrash calls it dat. Why the Medrash stuck in that word? I don't know. So the angels tell Moshe, God gave the Torah for us. What do you want the Torah for? Moshe answers them, it says, honor your father and mother. Do you have a father and mother? It says, if a person dies in a tent, you guys don't have death. The Torah was given for us and not for you. Okay. So what were they thinking? V'chashu v'lo anuot. Huh?
I mean, the question is about the Torah's format. You would imagine that the Torah was formatted into the human language. So maybe they're looking at it from a non-human language. So they're not obviously not going to talk about the human things, but the Torah is infinite, eternal. It could be applicable not just to human.
But who says that the character set of Hebrew, as we read in Hebrew, is not a different language for some other people? Just like you have English letters, and it's like hundreds of languages around the world written in English letters. You have lots of different letters with a lot of different languages with Hebrew letters.
You're saying the same words would mean something else.
It could be said in a completely different way. It's like
we're talking about angels now. Language isn't important.
First and foremost, is it possible that the Torah that was given with the first Luchot was different from the Torah from the second Luchot?
Again?
Is it possible that the Torah that Moshe learned was different from the Torah? The Torah learned with the second Luchot? But then angels could say that that's ours and not
beautiful.
Yours.
So,
which depends if the order of the parashiyot is that order that appears or not, because that will make a difference.
So one of the commentaries says like you that in the first luchot we could have rectified Adam Rishon's chet and lived eternally. And then the angels didn't have anything to say. It was only after we had sinned, achin kadam temutun, that they started saying, hey, look at them, they did the eagle, what are they getting the Torah for? So that's one understanding. That's how the Radal goes, the way you suggested. there's a commentary here, v'lo od ela, which, I don't know who wrote it, v'lo od ela, I don't know who that is. Of Eliyahu Ha'itamari, if that helps us any. So he has a piece on this. He says, we have to understand why the angels thought the Torah is for them, and what's Moshe answering them. So he says, it would seem that when they saw Moshe learning before Hashem, like a student before his Rebbe, so they got jealous of him. And they wanted to tell Moshe, you know, even though you're getting the Torah and Hashem's giving you all this attention, we're still bigger than Israel. Because the only reason you got up to this level is because you have a spirit, you have this spiritual aspect that could be like an angel. So Chazal tell us that you have a human being, you have a spirit, you have a shade, you have a malach. And the Gemara in Chagiga breaks down a human being. It says in three things a human being is like an angel, and three things a human being is like an animal. How is he like an animal? He's made of a physical form, etc. And how is he like an angel? Because he has a soul. So they wanted to say, why is it that you guys have any chance to get Torah? Because you have a soul, because you can work your way up. And that's what they said, lo nitna Torah ela lema'aneinu, because you have something that you're like us, that you have a spirit, that you have a soul, that you're angel-like, that's why you get the Torah. And Moshe answers them and says, no, we're getting the Torah because we have a physical side, not because we have a spiritual side. And that's what he says. It says, honor your father and mother. It says, a person dies away in a tent. That's only physical form has a father and mother. Only physical form dies in a tent. So then we're getting the Torah not because we're angel-like, but because we're animal-like. The Torah is there for that part of us too. And that's why we're bigger than you, not only because we have a soul, we're bigger than you because we have the physical form where we have free will and we have that responsibility to live up to that free will. And you don't have free will, so we're bigger. So therefore, what's the big deal that you do what God wants? You don't have free will. What about us? Okay, so we've sinned, but that's part of our greatness, that we have free will, and even so we do what Hashem wants. Okay. They were created that way.
I have a question related to Luchot. I know that it's written somewhere, I think it might be in the Talmud or something, that the Luchot was 3 by 3 by 2. I think that's 3 amot by 3 amot by 2 amot.
The Gemara defines their size, and I don't remember the size the Gemara says.
Pretty sure it's 3 by 3.
I think it's tefachim. I don't think it's amot.
Tefachim? That's tiny then.
They weren't so big, but I have it in my notes, and it's written in the Gemara, but I have to look it up. I don't remember.
My question was, according to the one midrash that you brought that said that they're made of godly matter, that makes some sense. But if they're of any size made out of carved out of rock, what person could carry those up a mountain or down a mountain or anything?
Right. The midrash says, Navot Rabbi Natan. Yeah, they were like this big. We once
so
measured it.
So if I pick up a rock that big, it's like...
Right, so it says Moshe was very, very powerful. Moshe was. I mean, look, he was 20 feet tall. That's pretty big.
How do you explain that one as well? That's another question.
We'll get there, Bezach Shem.
There's no fossil recollection of people who were 20 feet tall, you know? Like,
well, that would be, that
we'll
would
get
be
there.
Surprised.
So far, when Chazal said measurements, they've been very accurate. They found the mummy of Pharaoh, and it matches what Chazal said, that he was very short.
Everyone was pretty short back then, I think.
Okay.
I mean, that's not just, why would he be so tall? Like, they would have surely found, like, the tallest person in history that, in written history was, it could have been Robert Wadlow, certainly in recent history, Robert Wadlow was, I think, close to 9 feet. 8 or 9, I think it was close to 9 feet.
I don't know why we would be surprised by being someone being so strong.
No, but strong you can understand, but say tall, someone who is much taller than 9 feet. I mean, he didn't look past, I think, 26 or 25 or something. The heart can't support it.
Again, it's not the same kind of person. It's much better.
20 feet,
The Rambam really goes that way. The Rambam says even Ogum El Chabashan wasn't as tall as it as we think. Fine. So there are different commentaries that interpret different ways.
That interpretation is that just indicates his greatness, but not really.
Fine.
I learned yesterday that one of them, the flood didn't reach
them.
Right.
That's taller than the building.
It said there are. that yesterday that the flood didn't reach the top of the hole. Okay, but it does say the Torah that the water hit at the top of the mountains.
Right.
Even more so.
Right.
So what does that mean? It means that he was tall in the mountain.
Exactly.
Or he was standing on the mountain.
Exactly.
והוריד עוז מבטחן של מלאכי השרת. Moshe Rabbeinu took down the strength of confidence of the angels. Shneimar ir giburim alachat cham. The wise man went up to the city of brave people. Vayored oz mivtecha, and he took down their source of confidence. That's Moshe Rabbeinu, who was able to take down what the angels were so confident they could hold on to. ראו מלאכי השרת שנתן הקדוש ברוך הוא תורה למשה. עמדו גם הם ונתנו לו מתנות. The angels saw. Hashem gave him the Torah, so they also gave him gifts. Igrot uftakin shel refuot livnei adam. They gave him letters and amulets and letters how to heal human beings. So they gave him all kinds of gifts, telling him how people can be cured. Okay. So
how can you understand that pasuk that says, there we realize that men are allowed to heal men?
So what's the problem?
By Moshe Rabbeinu getting these things, okay, the Torah was already given to Moshe, but by Moshe giving these things, I can't understand it about healing people.
Why not? There's the natural way to heal people, and then there's there are all kinds of other ways to heal people. More ways than one. Even in the natural ways, there are more ways than one to heal people. Shneimar alita lamarom, shavita shevi, that Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, took captive when he went up to heaven. He took captive the Torah, and he also took the gifts, lakachta matanot ba'adam. He also took gifts for mankind. That's the letters of how to cure people. Okay, b'mtera omer, 40 yom asa Moshe bahar. And Beteira says Moshe was up there for 40 days. He was learning, deriving words of Torah and their letters. At the end of the 40 days, he came down. Was Yom Kippur. And he gave it to us. It is our eternal statute. This is what he gave us on Yom Kippur. So we'll pick up here. Be'ezrat Hashem next time.